Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, first Adyalila, chapter 8, verse 50-65. We're going to hear about a temple commander. Many of us have met temple commanders in our lives. Some of those commanders we loved, and some of those commanders we hated. This is called rag and dvesh. The jiva is being like a swinging between these two qualities, attachment and love, and repulsion and hatred, rag and dvesh. Either you love something and you like it, or you hate something and you don't like it. Attraction and repulsion. So Lord Chaitanya was describing different devotees, or rather Krishna's Kaviraj. So here he's describing the temple in Vrindavan, Govindaji temple, and a devotee who was living here about 500 years ago. His name was Sri Haridas Pandit. He's a Brahmin and a Pandit. But he was a Seva Adyaksha, which Prabhupada translates as a temple commander. And it differentiates him from Govinda Gosai, because after describing Sri Haridas Pandit, he describes Govinda Gosai and says that he was the pujari. So there was some distinction of their service positions. Vrindavane kapajume suvarna sadan mahayoga pita tahan ratna simhasan. In Vrindavan, in a great place of pilgrimage, underneath the desire trees, is a golden throne bedecked with jewels. It's very interesting that because in this verse we hear Vrindavane kalpadrume suvarna sadan Mahayogapit. So Prabhupada, it's interesting, because in Vrindavani means in Vrindavan, and Kalpadrum means desire trees, Suvarna means gold, golden throne. Then Mahayogapit, Prabhupada translates as a great place of pilgrimage. Because we know in Mayapur Dham, Navadvip, there's Srivasangam, and I believe that's a Yogapit, or at least one Yogapit in Mayapur. And Yogapit, the word Yogapit is very significant, and it describes a very unique place in the Holy Dham. It's a place where all the Lord's eternal associates and also newcomer devotees, they actually worship the Lord before the beginning of significant pastimes. So Krishna's pastimes are basically divided into three: morning, noon, and night. Our activities are also falling in these three categories. And in these three time periods of the day, 8 hours, 8 hours, and 8 hours. So our third period of our day, our 8 hours, is spent sleeping. Those are our sleeping pastimes. Then it's morning and afternoon. So in Krishna's morning pastimes, then he wakes up, he eats something, and then he milks the cows, and he bathes, and he wrestles with the boys. But then the significant thing is where he meets his most intimate devotees, and that's the gopis. So to initiate or really begin his morning pastimes, because throughout the day and night, as Prabhupada said, or Rupa Goswami said in one book, he said, Kaishora phalam, ratri krira nikunja rati lila, something like this. And he says that Rupa Goswami is saying the whole purpose of the Kaishora lila, of the teenage pastimes of Krishna, day and night, ratri dine, was simply to meet Radharani and enjoy with Radharani in the bushes of Vrindavan. This is how Krishna made his youth, the fruit of his youth, Safalam, the complete fruit of his youth. So when we, from our rather, let's say, jaded backgrounds, if we hear something like that, we'll think, wow, what this is God. That is aim and objective. He's only thinking about meditating and planning how to meet in the bushes with his girlfriend. I mean, it's, and this is your conception of God. And actually, it's perfect. Because everyone in the material world, everything else they're doing is superfluous. They're working, they're sports, they're working, they're traveling, they're planning, they're exports, they're imports, everything they're doing. And basically, the bottom line is, you know, where's my wife or where's my girlfriend? And everything else is external. So this tendency is there in God. So really, although Krishna does have pastimes with his mother in Vatsali Lila and other elderly gopis and gopas, and with his friends in Sakiras, they are peripheral. They are peripheral pastimes, because the main pastime, which is explained, is simply to be with his best devotees in the best situation possible. So therefore, the three periods of the day where Krishna has his pastimes, morning, noon, and night, there are three places where Krishna and the gopis, Radha and the gopis, are specifically worshipped. For two reasons, or maybe many reasons. One reason is that the devotees in Braja Gokul, they want to worship Radha and Krishna, especially the gopis, and because that's also an expression of their love. So they sit them on a throne, and it's always described in other places the same. Yogapit is described, and it's described as a meditation. Yogapit Dhyan. Pit or Pita or Pit means a place, let's say, a locus standi, or a place for yoga. Yoga means union. It's where we can join our consciousness or our heart. We can enter into the pastimes of the Lord by that meditation. It's kind of like there's a road that goes to the airport, and if you get on that road will take you to the airport. And once you're at the airport, you can fly to so many different destinations. But if you miss sometimes they even call it the airport road, in some places, or airport road or whatever. If you get on some other road, you won't get to the airport. So you can say the airport to other destinations, or let's say, how does this work? Let's say the Yogapit meditation, it's like the road to the airport, because meditating on Yogapit enables us to enter all the pastimes of that particular day. We worship and meditate. So Prabhupada's saying, it's interesting, a great place, he's translating Maha Yogapit as a great place of pilgrimage. He's not saying, because there's no purports here, as I mentioned, this was a rather hasty production. It was a hasty production of Krishna's Kaviraj, that he gave the summary of so many pastimes and points of philosophy, and was even hastier production of Srila Prabhupada, who translated it in 1 year and ordered its publication in 2 months. As you know, some of the history of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the 17 volumes were printed in 2 months. We were living in Los Angeles Temple at the time when that marathon was going on. It's called the Chaitanya Charitamrita Marathon. Paintings, layout, everything in 2 months. That's quite Herculean task. So he says, Maha Yogapit. He says, Maha Yogapit. Great. And here it's interesting because in the word for word he says, Yogapit, pious temple. Maha, great. Now that's great pious temple. And then he says, and then that comes into the verse as a great place of pilgrimage. And certainly a pilgrimage, it's supposed to be it's a place of pilgrimage for the yatri of our mind. Yatri means a pilgrim. So the pilgrim of our mind should actually go to the Yogapit. So in the morning, the Yogapit is a guptakund. Krishna leaves his friends that are waiting outside his room, guarding him. And Yogamaya makes the friends in his room that are sleeping with him, Madamangal or Srida, makes them fall very, very deeply asleep. Complete, absolute slumber. then Krishna sneaks out or escapes or somehow slips away to a place called Guptakund. And there's different ways he does it. Some say he has a trap door, which we can relate to some extent. Or he can just walk through the wall or like a ghost, or any which way he does it, different acharyas describe. But he goes out, sometimes they say, even in Nandagram, they say there's a tunnel which leads from Nanda Baba's palace and comes out at the end of the Nandishwar Hill, right opposite Guptakund, and that facilitates his secret moving over there. So that's the Yogapita in the morning, and that's where we can enter, that's the roadway. That Yogapita is the roadway for the entire morning pastimes, up until Madhyan Leela. Then in Madhyan Leela, there's the Yogapita at Radhakund, which I believe is in the Lita Sakhi's Kunj. And there, the same thing, exactly the same thing. Divya Drindaranya Kalpa Jumadat Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Devo Preshta Alibi Sevyamano Smarami. It's almost like a formation. It's very interesting because, as I mentioned, they gather there and they're worshipped, and then that initiates their afternoon pastimes, which is the roadway which enables us, that meditation on that Madhyan Leela or Madhyan Yogapit, great place of pilgrimage. We immerse our minds in that meditation and that formation at Radhakund, and that carries us in all different directions to the different pastimes throughout the afternoon. Then there's the evening Yogapit, which is being described here, and it's called not Yogapit, but Maha Yogapit. And that is the Yogapit which is situated exactly where the Govindaji temple is. Govindaji temple is now an historical site because Aurangzeb's soldiers, defiled the temple, and Govindaji moved to Jayapur. But where that temple was built under the direction of Rupa Goswami and under the guidance of Raghunath Bhatta and Jiva Goswami is located exactly in the Yogapit. So that's where Radha and Govinda and the Preshta Alibi, all the most intimate Sakis, especially or specifically, they worship Radha Govinda on a Divya Drindaranya Kalpadrumanad. Under those Kalpadrumas, under those same, all these same words are there. In Vrindavan, under the Kalpadruma trees, Ratna Simhasan, on a jeweled throne, and they worship with various paraphernalia. And then after that worship, then the Leelas begin. And it's interesting because this principle of worshipping Krishna and the gopis at Yogapit is so primary to meditating in Astakali Leela that it's even become incorporated into the production of Ras Leela. Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who wrote the famous book Braj Bhakti Vilas, he was initiated by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, we heard, and later he went to the Nimbark Sampradaya. There are different stories, because as time goes on, the stories take different shapes. Like any story, you hear the story today, and then you hear it in 20 years, and it's a completely different story. So what to speak of 400 years ago? At any rate, let's try to understand the common things. He did write a famous book about the Brajmandal Parikrama and some other books on puja, and his standards are still being followed. And one of his biggest contributions to Braj was the introduction of a means to preserve the memory of Radha and Krishna in the minds of the Brijvasis. And that was this idea of dramatizing, because the Leelas themselves, as I mentioned, they fit very nicely the context of drama. There's Nayak and Nayaka, hero and heroine. There's scenes and settings, and there's emotions and all kinds of rasas. Different rasas are there, Stai Bhav, Anubhav, Vyavachari Bhavs. So all the elements of drama or Natya are there in Krishna's Leela. Some acharyas, when they analyze the five chapters of the Rasa Dance, Rasa Panchadaya, 10th canto, chapter 29 through 33, they call it the drama of Krishna, the dance drama. Then they divide the chapters. Chapter 29 is Act 1, then Act 2, then Act 3, then Act 4, and Act 5. Act 5 is chapter 33. And then they divide, inside each act, they divide the different parts into scenes. Scene 1, Krishna calling the gopis. And scene 2, Krishna leaving Radharani, or whatever. Like this, they divide it. And they analyze it. These are the professors who have their... And it's valid. Because Krishna's Leela is certainly a drama. So this Narayan Bhatta Goswami, he wanted to preserve the pastimes of Krishna in the minds of the Brijbasis. And the best way to do it is to dramatize it. So he organized drama all around Braj. He would collect, he even wrote the scripts. He wrote the scripts for the different Leelas with the different playing parts. And he would collect all the Brahmin boys, and he would assign to them different roles, especially boys that were before the age of puberty, because they were not yet young men. So his idea was that they could become an Avesh, they could become Shakti Avesh. First of all, because they're Brahmins, and they're Brijvasis, and they're born in pure lineages, and they have it in their blood to, their Brijvasis, to worship Radha and Krishna. So he would train them up, and they would become like Murtis. Like you take a piece of marble or granite, and you carve it according to rules of Stapati, or Shilpa Shastra, Stapati. And then there's what they call the installation, Pran Pratishta, of the Murti. There's all different rituals where they invite Krishna into the Murti. They install the deity. So in the same way, these Brahmin boys, Radharani was installed in the Brahmin boy. Krishna was installed, Sridham, Subal, the Astasakis, they were installed. And it's called Shakti Avesh. His idea, because he's a very advanced Vaishnava, was that they are the suitable substance from which to make a Murti. They are Brahman, they are Brahmins. And their karmas for bad activities, or let's say wrong, immoral life or whatever, have not yet fructified. So with this idea, he would train up the young boys to play the parts of Radha and Krishna, and they would do drama. And he established, through the agency of various patrons, he established Ras Mandalas throughout Vrindavan. A Ras Mandala means circle or platform, and generally it was raised up, and some average height was about 3 feet high, so that everyone could see it. In other words, it's a stage. It's a platform. It's a place where the Leela would be seen. And people would sit around the Ras Mandala and watch. And so all around Braj, you see these different mandalas were established. There's one here by Govindaji. And then he initiated the Brahmin boys in each community to perform the Leelas. The various Leelas conveying the different rasas of Krishna's life. Some rasas depicting Sakiras or Vatsalya Ras, or Madhurya Ras, and with humor, or pathos, or anger, or intimacy, Julin, holy, all different rasas. And people would gather around. And it's like watching TV. Now you see, in some of the villages in Braj, of course it's less now, but when one person would get some money, they would buy a color TV. And then they would display it prominently in some front room in the house, because there's back rooms and front rooms. They put their television in the front room of the house near the main road. So therefore everyone in the neighborhood can come and peer in the window and watch the TV. Or even come in and sit down. I see in this village. Now there's more TVs, but 10 years ago it used to be one TV for every 100 people. Now it's one TV for every 10. And in America it's 10 TVs for every one person. TV in the bathroom, TV in the kitchen, TV in the bedroom, TV in the closet, TV in the car, everywhere television, right? It's like this. So then everyone gathers around and they watch the TV and they relish the shootings and the violence and murders and all the nice things that go on the TV. So in the same way, all the Brijvasis would gather around the Ras Mandal and watch the Ras Leela. And when he would initiate all these Ras Leela dramas, the first thing he would do is Yogapit meditation, Yogapit formation. And it's still today, if you go to Jayashringara, in Vrindavan, Fata Krishna and his group, they often perform there. And they do the same thing. Before, whatever the leela is going to be, before they begin, whichever direction the leela is going to take off in, whether it's going to be Nanda Baba, that Krishna steals Nanda Baba's clothes at the Yamuna, that's one leela. The boys play a prank on Nanda Baba. Nanda Baba goes to bathe in Yamuna, then the boys steal his clothes. So it's very funny. That's some type of, you know, chalak balak leela, naughty boy leela. And they steal his clothes, like Gopi Vastraharna. There's also Nanda Baba Vastraharna. And then they hide in the bushes, and Nanda Baba comes out, "Where's my clothes?" And then Krishna comes out, "Baba, father, Baba, Baba, what's wrong, what's wrong? Oh, somebody stole my clothes. Oh, this is very bad. Let me help you look," you know. And so it's a leela. It's called Ras Leela, but it's not, you know, dancing around and hugging and kissing or something, but it's quite humorous. And so before these different leelas we unfold on the stage, then they have the worship of Radha and Krishna. The curtains open and Krishna's sitting there usually has his left hand. How's it work? Krishna's on this side, yeah. And his right hand, he's holding his flute, and his left hand, he's leaning on Radharani's shoulder, and she's like this, you know, of course it's a boy, a Brahmin boy, she's leaning with their cheek to cheek like this, and she's like making some mudra, you know, some kind of mudra. And they look so sweet. And then all the sakis are standing on, flanked out on either sides of them. So you see them, and you see the sakis going like this, and then Radha Krishna there and the saki. And then they're doing Radharani Arati, or Yugal Arati, and they're singing these Brajvas songs. And it's the same thing. Devyat Vrindaranyat Kalpajumadad Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Devo Preshta Alivi Sevyamano. So this is the Yoga Peet. So here Krishna is Kaviraj. And then after that, the thing begins. So this is actually indicated here in this verse. Because before he introduces the story of Haridas, Sri Haridas Pandit, the temple commander, Krishna's Kaviraj is trying to explain where his temple is located and who that deity is that he's worshipping. So his temple is located in Vrindavan under the Kalpavriksha trees, and it's actually the location of Mahayoga Peet, and it's a golden throne in Ratna Simhasana, it says here. Golden throne bedecked with jewels. Tatevasi achi sada vrajendra nandan Shri Govinda devanam sakshat nandan. On that throne sits Nanda Nandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Shri Govinda Dev, the transcendental cupid. Sakshat Madan, Shri Govinda Dev. So this deity, they're specifically describing the deity of the Murti, Archamurti of Shri Govindadev, who was uncovered or revealed by Rupa Goswami. And this deity is also known as Nanda Nandan, and also Sakshat Madan. He's directly Cupid. He's Kamadev. He's a transcendental Cupid, directly. So that's why there's so much emphasis on being attracted to Govindaji. Because if we're attracted to Govindaji, because his face and smile are also Sakshat Krishna, as Uttara confirmed. When Uttara, Parikshit's mother, had darshan of the three, it's called teen Prabhus, the three Murtis of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, sometimes known as Madan Gopal, Govindaji and Gopinath, then she said that Madan Mohan looks exactly like Krishna from his feet to his waist, and Gopinath from his waist to his chest. And when she saw Govindaji, I believe, as I recall, then she covered her face with her cloth and turned it aside because she was so shy that she was having Sakshat Darshan of Krishna. And the Bajranab, Krishna's great grandson, he said, "Oh," whatever her title is, like great grandmother, aunt, or whatever, he said, "Oh Uttara, or oh Mataji, or oh Mother Uttara, Why are you responding like that? And she said, oh, I'm feeling so shy. This Murti or this Govindaji is looking at me, and just I feel like I'm seeing Cupid himself. I'm feeling shy because I shouldn't look in the face of such a beautiful man. So she commented that certainly Govindaji, because she had seen directly the face of Krishna in his form when he was having his Leela here, and now he was no longer here. And when she saw the deity, she said, yes, the face of Govindaji is directly Krishna. So Krishna's Kaviraj saying, Govindaji is Sakshat Madan, the Cupid, directly Cupid. So practically, without a doubt, without exception, most of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they have pictures of Govindaji. And they don't know why. But it's Rupa Goswami's blessing. Because Rupa Goswami is the Acharya of Seva, Bhakti Rasa Acharya, and he's inspiring us and teaching us how to serve Krishna. So if we want to serve Krishna, we have to be attracted to him. And we have to be continually attracted. If your attraction for someone is continuous, and it goes on and never wanes or never stops, then it's easy to be inspired by that attraction to serve them. Like in the beginning of a marriage, a man may be attracted to his wife due to her beauty or sweetness or tenderness, and he's inspired to serve her, but as her qualities become revealed and her beauty becomes diminished, he may feel discouraged. As her beauty goes down and her mean qualities come up or manifest more. So then the tendency to serve may wane or diminish. But Govindaji is his beauty and his qualities ever expand. So that's why that Rupa Goswami wanted everyone to catch the fever, Govindaji fever. And it's worked pretty well. It's kind of like an epidemic in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. They have to say that. It's like every man thinks his wife is the most beautiful. Saravi Pujari, he must, because our statements are backed by so many shastras about the glories of the Govindaji deity are mentioned by Bhakti Ratnakar and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Rupa Goswami and other stalwart acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya are actually writing Sanskrit verses and many verses, Janava Mata, and they're glorifying that this is Krishna. And don't go see him on the banks of the Jamuna at Keshigat. This verse is about the deity. It's not about Krishna and the real Krishna or whatever Krishna of Gokul. It's specifically about the Sri Murti. And they use the term Sri Murti or Tano Rupam, you know, all these different terms. So, all glories to Radharaman, and certainly we also may also have a picture of Radharaman in our hearts and minds and temples. But our Mahajanacharyas in Gaudiya Sampradaya, they glorify specifically teen Prabhus, Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinath. So in the totality of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, excluding the Goswamis of Vrindavan and the worshippers of Radharaman, in the totality of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Govinda Dev reigns supreme to such an extent that practically every single Bengali or Arisan or Manipuri Vaishnava, purchase deities of Radha and Krishna and begin worship in their homes or temples, invariably they give them the name Radha Govinda. The king of Manipur, when he was converted by Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he installed famous deities there in Imphal. They're called Radha Govinda. And our Sarup Damodar Goswami, he made his ISKCON temple, and to keep in line with the local tradition and the Gaudiya tradition, he named the deities, I believe, Radha Govinda also. I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. But in Manipur, ISKCON. And Prabhupada, when he went to New York and he started his ISKCON, he named his deities Radha Govinda. And Prabhupada's first personal deities when he was a child, which Gaura Mohan Day purchased for him, were named Radha Govinda. And the deities he used to spend all of his childhood afternoons with after school, admiring with great affection, were named Radha Govinda. And in Calcutta, in his hometown, when he came back as a conquering hero, conquering the other lands of Maya's citadel, when he came back to Calcutta, he installed Radha Govinda. So I think Radha Govinda wins the contest. But nevertheless, the point that you made may in fact be true, but I've never seen it substantiated. That Radharman is perfect in all three departments. He's perfect from head to toe, is what you're saying. Whereas if you want to see the perfection of Krishna head to toe, then in one day before sunset, you have to have the darshan of Madan Mohan and Karoli, then Gopinath and Jayapur, and Govinda Dev and Jayapur. I never read that, but that's one of the common, it's called Stana Purana. Stana Purana means the history of a place. Stan means place. It's called Stana Purana. That, well, someone in a village says, well, you know, this Leela happened under this tree. Oh, where's that said? I don't know, my father told me. Well, who told him? Well, his father. Who told him? And it's been coming down for 5,000 years, but you can't find it anywhere in any Shastra, although it may be perfectly true. So this phrase is like the Stana Puran. If anyone has a darshan of Madan Mohan, Gopinath, and Govindaji on the same day before sunset, then he has taken direct darshan of Krishna. If you live in Vrindavan for some time, you'll definitely hear this shloka from the Stana Puran. Have you heard? Have you tried? We've also tried. We just did our last attempt at landing on the moon, or let's say landing on the face of Krishna in July. Was it July we had that yatra? July 30th or something like that? Or August?
It was June 30th, July
1st. Something like that. We took 16 devotees and attempted to force our way into darshan of Krishna. This is called a forced darshan. Rather than qualifying ourselves by chanting Shudanam and waiting for the blessings of Shudanam to reveal his rupam and gunam and leelam, we said, forget that. We'll simply spend a lot of gas and drive around in our AC car and try to get darshan this way. Although it seems it may be easier to chant Shudanam than drive from here to Karoli for 5 hours and then 4 hours from Karoli to Jayapur. It's quite grueling. Even an AC car, it was like, got to Jayapur. We had a darshan, but then we were dead. So I guess that darshan annihilated our materiality. Our gunamaya deyas were destroyed by that darshan. Like the gopis, they couldn't get out to the rasa dance in the first night. It's described that their gunamaya deha was destroyed by the fire of separation. So the roads of Rajasthan and UP destroyed our gunamaya deyas. So after that 9-hour grueling ride, we were dead when we got to Jayapur. But we appeared to be still alive. So what died? Did we actually die? Did the gopis die in the night of the rasa dance? No, it's too inauspicious. What died was whatever materiality, or maybe let's say died was their lack of purva rag to meet Krishna. The different commentaries are there. So this is Govinda Dev, the transcendental cupid, Sakshat Madan. Raja Seva Haya Tanhan Vichitra Prakar Divya Samagri Divya Vastra Alankar. Now we are hearing about the place, the location of this grand temple, and some description of the opulence of it. Golden, jeweled, studded throne. Now what type of puja is going on there? Very Raj Seva. Majestic seva, like a raj, like a king. And the vichitra, variegated, all kinds of varieties of objects. Divya samagri, transcendental ingredients. Varieties of majestic service are rendered to Govinda there in Vrindavan. His garments, ornaments, and paraphernalia are all transcendental. Divya Vastra, Divya Lankar. So it appears that it's interesting that here we're talking about Yogapit, where Krishna has such confidential, intimate pastimes. But yet before that Madhurya, those sweet Madhurya Leelas unfold, there's a touch of Aishwarya in terms of Raj Seva. When you talk about making a peacock feather crown, like last night we read about Rasa Dance. We had small class and under the moonlight. And reading about Rasa Dance, and says that Krishna was adorned with a crown made of peacock feathers. And another way of saying that is he was wearing a stool crown. Stool. You know what stool is? Because hair and stool and nails are all in the same category. They're all contaminated. So the feathers of a bird are extremely, extremely contaminated. If you touch them, you have to take a bath before you can do any puja of Shalagram. Even a peacock. It's not like, cows or something. Cows are pure, but other animals aren't. So Krishna picks these feathers off the ground and his friends, and they fashion a crown out of peacock feathers. But here we hear that Govindaji, he's wearing all kinds of golden ornaments and opulence. And this is what Prabhupada told us. This is how our puja should be. Although we're worshipping Radha and Krishna, there should be some Aishwarya, some respect, some formality, and some regularity in terms of timing. And there should be a good degree, a good touch of opulence and majesty in our worship. Even in London, 1970, maybe two, the devotees of Radha Gokulananda, it was Radha Gokulananda, maybe Radha Landaneshwar, I think it was Radha Landaneshwar, they thought, oh, Radha Landaneshwar, this is Radha and Govinda, Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Then Vrindavan Krishna wears peacock feathers and flowers and leaves, and so we'll dress the deities like that. So they dress Radharani in a simple sari, without any, what do they call it, embroidery and all this kind of stuff, jewelry, whatever, those things, they sew on all this stuff. A simple sari, unadorned sari, and Krishna was in some dhoti. And then very simple, leaves and flowers. And then they took a picture, and they made a poster. And the poster was, they have posters, deity posters, like maybe 3 feet by two, or those typical posters, right? And then that was being distributed, Radha Landaneshwara. And then Prabhupada saw it, and he hit the roof, as they say. He said, what the hell is going on here? What Sahaji is dressing the deities? So and Prabhupada, we thought that Krishna was a coward boy, and he wears bare feet, and why do we offer him silver slippers and carry his slippers from the throne, from the singhasan, and at night, and put them next to his bed, and chant mantras, please come take rest, agacha shayanam stanam priya visa keshavam, and we have silver lota and all of this, this is Krishna drinks with his hands. He drinks water with his hands. He cups his hands and he goes to the Yamuna and he drinks like this. And we offer him milk in a silver cup. But Krishna, when he goes, he just goes to the cow and grabs her udder and shh. He takes it, he doesn't even use a cup. He just squeezes the milk right into his mouth. So then Prabhupada said, no, it should be Raj Seva Hayatanan Vichitra Prakar Divya Samagri Divya Vastra Alankar. So we serve. And you see, to this day, everyone is quite on the mark. Most ISKCON temples, they follow the standard of, as Prabhupada wrote in one letter, we should worship Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. So we should really worship Radha and Krishna in the bhav of Radha and Krishna, in the mood. The mood means bhav. But in the way, externally, in the way, the Aishwarya, the opulence. But our bhav should be, my feeling is not that I'm worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. My feeling is I'm worshipping Radha and Krishna, Vrindavan. And even when I'm worshipping, I'm trying to think that This past, now it's 7 o'clock, and Krishna is also being bathed in Nandagram, and I'm bathing him here in Chicago. I'm in San Francisco bathing him at 6 in the morning, but he's also being bathed by the Manjaris and Sakis and Coward Boys in Nandagam. So this, our bhav, our internal sentiment, should be fixed in Nitya Lila. But externally, we should follow all the protocol of very regulated worship according to the Niyam, Yama Niyam, and with great cleanliness and opulence. So we find here, and even Govindaji is not being worshipped like a simple cowherd boy or like simple Govindaji. Sahasra sevaka seva kare anakshan sahasra vadane seva najayak varnan. In that temple of Govindaji, thousands of servitors always render service to the Lord in devotion. Even with thousands of mouths, one could not describe this service. Sahasra sevaka seva kari anukshan. Shana is a portion of time. K-S-A-N-A, shana. And ana means time after time after time after time. Moment after moment. Anukshana means moment after moment after moment. Not only 5 artiks a day or 7 artiks, but moment by anukshan means moment by moment. Sahasra sevaka seva. Sevaka. Or Savya Bhagavan and the Sevak. And the Sevak is the devotee, and the Savya is the one who is receiving the Seva, Bhagavan, Govindaji. The numbers of Sevakas are thousands. That seems rather hard to believe, because how many pujaris can you fit in a deity room? You ever go to Krishna Balaram temple on Janmastami at night time? And everyone just, people grab a thread from anywhere. I don't know where they get, I don't even know where half of these Brahmins come from, but all kinds of people come from anywhere and everywhere, and they get a 2-paise thread from somewhere, and they put it on. They show up at the temple and say, "I want to do puja on Janmastami," because I've been there many times. And the head pujari says, "Who are you? Where you came from? Or are you initiated?" He says, "Yes, yes, I'm a devotee of Swami Bogananda, you know, or whatever." they don't even know who the ISKCON gurus are sometimes, and they just have a thread and they want to come on the altar. That's a fact. And there's like 100 pujaris, even the legitimate ones, and there's not much room over there. So you can hardly fit 20, 30, what to speak of sahasra sevaka. So now how do we adjust this? Because it says here that in the temple of Govindaji, thousands of servitors always render service to the Lord in devotion. Well, it's easy, because if you go to Jayapur or to Natwara, you can see how the Thakurjis go. Srinathji or Govindaji can easily accommodate thousands and thousands of servitors. Because in Jayapur, for example, 10,000 servitors, which is sahasra, thousands, ten sahasra or das sahasra, 10,000 servitors come every day to take darshan. And they don't take, they also give. They bring flowers, they bring atta, they bring grains, they bring sabji, they bring fruits, they bring money, they bring so many things. So this is what's being said. If you go to Natwara, you'll see so many hundreds and maybe thousands of people doing service. Everyone that comes, they may take darshan of Natchi, but then they'll spend a half hour carrying firewood. Some bullock cart will come and dump a load of firewood for cooking on the road. Then all these high-class, well-dressed Gujarati ladies, followers of Vallabha Sampradaya, extremely rich and opulent ladies, they'll pick up as many logs as they can and parade or proceed into the inner confines of the temple to where the kitchen is, and drop them off in the wood storage area. And then you'll see circles, like Chopadi Beach, they have these japa circles, where everyone sits around in a circle and chants japa. So in Natwara, they have sabji circles, and all the ladies sit around and cut sabji in a circle, or fruit circles, phalam chakra. Phalam means fruit. So they sit in a circle and they cut up fruit for Govindaji's fruit salad, because when he eats fruit salad, it's like 300-400 kilos. Anyor, bring me more fruit salad, bring me more fruit salad. And so it's like a beehive. Everywhere you look, someone is engaged in the service of Srinathji. What to speak of all the Brahmins with their bundis and their tilak and robust figures moving here and there. They're also the assigned or particular pujaris, but one category is pujari, but then sevaka. Sevaka means everybody. Everyone. Sevaka means one who does seva. So there's always room for more. So here at Govindji had thousands of servitors, always ready to render service to the Lord in devotion. That's what it says, sevakari anukshana. A very interesting quality. Thousands of servitors always render service to the Lord. So anukshana, moment by moment. You see, in the morning in Natwara, when you go for darshan, Mangalarti, already darshan sometimes is around maybe, I don't know, 4:30, 5 o'clock, I forget just now. But when you go there, if you're there early, say half hour, the people come an hour to an hour and a half before the doors open. People come there and line up. Ladies, and they sit down, rather, and after a while they stand up. Ladies on one side, gents on the other. And then they start singing songs in Gujarati, especially Gujarati language, about Natji. Please, we've come to your temple door. We want so much to see you. And if we don't see you, we can't carry on anymore. And please be kind to us. And many very heartrending songs like this. But then you'll see already at that time, an hour and a half or an hour before Mangalarti, there's hundreds of ladies and gentlemen already engaged in service, bringing wood or cutting fruit, or actually this time mostly they're making garlands. They're making garlands and grinding chandan and all kinds of services. Just like sometimes you see, at least in our Vrindavan temple, maybe Mayapur, I think also, around Chandan Yatra, when lots and lots of chandan are required for Thakurji, then all kinds of people are engaged in grinding chandan. In fact, they have, in Vrindavan temple, they have 10 or 20, maybe more, grinding stones. And anybody that comes, women and men or whatever, they want to grind chandan, they give them a stone and say, here, grind away. You see little kids, I remember Mayapur saw some little kids, and, you know, grinding, nothing's coming out, but they're moving like this, you know. What's the time? Can you get my clock from the deity rooms? I can't see what time it is. I forgot it. So, watcha. So this is the mood of seva. It's quite, as I mentioned the other day, that for samskaras to be formed in our chitta, the most powerful sense input is visual. Because the chitta actually takes the shape around rupam. If we see some form, then our chitta actually wraps itself around that form. Whereas, thank you, as other forms of sensory input, like sound or touch or taste or smell, they are registered or they etched or marked on the chitta, but the chitta does not actually wrap itself around them. So visual is extremely powerful form of what we see. Even we have phrases, seeing is believing, the materialist. So seeing, as when we see acts of devotion, or we see humility, we were discussing this point of in their review, I believe, of in the Bhajan Rahasyam, we were discussing this point of humility, that if we actually see a humble, advanced Vaishnava, that visual input, it has a marked influence on our chitta. We can't forget it. We may hear so many things about Vaishnavas and perceive through other senses, but if we actually see a display of Vaishnava humility, it touched my heart. What touched my heart means it made a firm, deep impression in my chitta, which means a profound samskara, unforgettable. So, in a similar way, when we see acts of devotion, like this verse is saying, sahasra sevaka sevakari anukshan, that the servants of Govindaji and the Govindaji temple, they numbered thousands, the sevaks, and anukshana, sevakari anukshana, that moment after moment they were rendering service, and they're always rendering service throughout the day and night. And you go to Nathdwara or even Govindaji in Jaipur, and you see this type of mood of the enthusiasm for service and the dedication and the absorption, then it makes a samskara, it makes a deep impression in the chitta, or let's say our hearts. And when we go away from that, we think, oh, these people are really devoted. These people are really dedicated. Maybe some of their devotion will come in me. Maybe some of their dedication will come in me. Seva adyaksha Shri Pandit Haridas Tanra Yashaguna Sarva Jagate Prakash. In the Govindaji temple in Vrindavan, the Seva Adyaksha, the temple commander, says commander of the service, the chief servitor was Sri Haridas Pandit. His Yasha and Guna, Sarva Jagat Prakash. Now that's pretty big fame. Sometimes we say, this politician or this movie star is world famous. Or they sometimes have signs, world famous Acharya, Jagat Guru, is coming to Bombay or whatever. But here it says, Sarva Jagat Prakash. That the fame of Sri Haridas Pandit is Prakash, is manifest in every single universe. Jagat. And that's called not only worldwide fame or world famous, he's the world famous heavyweight champion of the world. No, whoever. Sri Krishna Bhagavan. Bhagavan Sri Krishna, right? Defeated Chanura Mushtika and a host of others. But here it's the fame of Sri Haridas Pandit, the temple commander of Govindaji, is universally famous. His qualities and fame are known all over the world. He was a disciple of Ananta Acharya, who was a disciple of Gadadhara Pandit. Sushila Sahishnu Shanta, Vadanya Gambir, Madhura Vachan Madhura Cheshta Mahadhir. Now, he was famous, so if you're famous, what are you famous for? You can also be a famous dacoit, like Babyface Nelson, or some of these guys, you know, famous Phulan Devi. There was one lady in Madhya Pradesh, Phulan Devi, means Phulan, and she used to sell flowers. And then her husband got murdered or something, so she joined a band of dacoits and became the leader of the dacoits. Phulan Devi, is it like this? Phulan Devi. She was a Mali, and she the next thing she had a machine gun, AK-47, and she was heading up a band of dacoits, and they would rob people, and then she would... And it became a movie, and then that lady became a politician, isn't it? Phulan Devi, it became a movie about her, then Phulan Devi became an MP, a Minister of Parliament, an Indian government. Swavidra Hushtakara Esam Sutta Parasham Pashu. I think it's second canto of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says that those men who are just like camels, asses, hogs, and dogs, or whatever, they will elect, or they think that some other camel, ass, or dog is quite a great person. So this dacoit murderer, Phulan Devi, became a minister of parliament in India. Maybe I think she lost now. She's out of office, maybe. Back to her dacoitry.
She was killed,
Maharaj. Oh. Acha. Well, live by the gun, die by the gun. So that's a good ending. So she had her own qualities, which has some limited fame for. But let's hear the qualities. What are the qualities that will make you famous? Sarva Jagat Prakash. You want to be famous? You want to be famous all over the universe? Then you have to have these qualities. Sushila, well behaved. Sahishnu, tolerant. Shanta, peaceful. Vadanya, magnanimous. Gambir, grave. Madhura Vachan, sweet words. Madhura Cheshta, sweet endeavor, and Mahadir, completely sober. So these are the qualities of the temple commander. Now, have you ever met a temple commander anywhere from Germany to Switzerland to France to New York, New Jersey? Anywhere have you met a temple commander that exhibited these qualities? Because he's a Seva Adyaksha. And Prabhupada says, Adyaksha means commander, and says Seva of service of what? Commander of the service of the Govindaji temple, which means temple commander in our terms, right? Sri Haridas Pandit is a temple commander. And here's his qualities. Our temple commanders are also famous for their qualities. He's envious. He's puffed up. He's inconsiderate. He's lazy. He's a hypocrite. Temple famous, or maybe even zonal famous. Famous within one zone. Gentle, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, grave, sweet in his words, and very tolerant, I mean very sober in his endeavors. Sabara Samanakarta Karena Sabara Hita Kotilya Matsari Himsa Najane Tanra Chitta. He was respectful to everyone. We should actually have our temple commander study this. Say, so you want the job of temple commander? This is, you have to submit your application. Do you have the, I'm not asking for many qualities, only like 7 or 8 qualities. I'm looking. Wanted, temple commander. You put an advertisement, ISKCON newspaper, the ISKCON Daily. Wanted, temple commander, ISKCON Daily. Needed, requirements. Gentle, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, grave, sweet in words. Hey, do this service! Sweet in words. Very sober in his endeavors. Be respectful to everyone, working for the benefit of all. He was a temple commander, but the temple commander makes everyone work for his benefit. Right? And the temple president gives him all the glorification. Oh, you're doing a good job, you're organizing everything, and everyone's doing the work, and he's just sitting back eating maha. He even tells the people working for him, when you clear the plates, make sure you bring the maha to my office, because I have to distribute the maha fairly. To my eyes, senses, nose, mouth. So in this way, the Mahaprasadam is distributed equally to all my senses. Listen, boys, bring the plate of Maha to my office, because I have to make sure the Maha is distributed equally to all the devotees. My eye devotees, my nose devotee, my tongue devotee. You think it's funny, but it's actually, I've lived a long time in ISKCON, I've seen this go on. We bring the maha plate to the temple commander so no one steals it. And then he devours it behind closed doors. And at the end of the day, he gives the empty plate and says, here, clean it. Where's the maha? Oh, we distributed it. And then he says under his breath, we distributed it. And under his breath, he says, charity begins at home. In other words, we distributed it to me. I ate it all. So now check this one out. These are some more qualities of temple commander. Diplomacy, envy, and jealousy were unknown to his heart. Kotilya, diplomacy, matsarya, jealousy, envy, or jealousy. Himsa. Himsa actually means violence. The Prabhupada translates, like we say, ahimsa, without violence. So himsa, Prabhupada translates as envy. Of course, envy precedes violence. When you're envious of someone, then you're violent to them. If you're really envious, you kill them. If you're only partially envious, you insult them, or belittle them, or put them down. These are all expressions of envy, which is dvesh. And that's conditioned soul is operating out of these two channels, two channel system, or two programs, raga and dvesh. You like someone, then you're attached to them and you do good. If you don't like someone, that's rag. And dvesh is, if you don't like something or you hate something, then you do bad to them. That's called dvesh. Rag and dvesh. Love and hate. Right? That's basically, Bhagavad Gita is describing. There's 5 coverings of the jiva. Rag, dvesh, avidya, abhinivesh, asmita. And I forget the other ones. Rag, dvesh, avidya, abhinivesh, and asmita. That's it. These are the 5 coverings. And Sankhya philosophy. So Bhagavad Gita especially addresses rag and dvesh, because the other ones are kind of like expansions. Because rag and dvesh is based on avidya. You can't have rag and dvesh unless you have avidya. Rag, dvesh, avidya, abhinivesha, and asmita. So we'll continue there tomorrow. That's quite a lot of qualities that the temple commander has. It doesn't say that the guru is just a temple commander. Of course, Sri Haridas Pandit was also a guru.